Hey, All Work No Play listeners, this is Sam Riegel. All Work No Play may have wrapped season two, but it's more important than ever to stay connected. With that in mind, welcome to AWNP Unplugged, a spinoff show and podcast where myself and best buddy Liam O'Brien check in on each other and occasionally other friends from a safe distance. You can watch AWNP Unplugged every other Tuesday on twitch.tv/criticalrole at 7 p.m. Pacific. Or you can listen to the audio version of the show the following Tuesday right here on the All Work No Play podcast feed. Well, okay, let's get to checking in.
The following contains discussions surrounding COVID-19. We understand that not everyone is in a place to talk about or hear discussions surrounding this very real issue. Please do what feels best for your well-being and heart during this uneasy time. Take care of yourselves, and don't forget to love each other.
Sam, Riegel, welcome back to the show that we still do in the middle of hell here in 2020. Welcome.
Well, here we go again.
Welcome to All Work, No Play, Unplugged,
AWNP.
Unpeed. I'm your host, Sam Riegel. This is your host,
Liam O'Brien. And we are still in a slow-moving airport conveyor belt, moving sidewalk of drudgery and moments of light in the dark.
Nope, it's all anguish all the time, Liam.
Yeah, a lot of confusion. Man, I am legitimately slap happy tonight. We've been...
Oh, good.
Yeah.
That's always fun.
Were you
tired? Did you work? Did you have a hard day at the office, honey?
It wasn't too hard. It was just nonstop today. It was a lot of at my computer and emailing and reviewing stuff.
Is that why you're blurry right now? Is that why your whole face is blurry?
Yeah. Here, come on. Come on, camera.
Not.
Do the thing. No. Hey.
Hey. There it is. Focus.
There it is.
So you had a rough day.
No, just chock-a-block. Just chock-a-block. Lots of stuff to do. What about yourself? Did you have a busy day, dear?
I had a busy day, honey. I did some work. I did some voice directing. You know, even though we're in the lockdown, we still can record animation cartoons.
Uh-huh.
And so I connected to a couple of different cartoon animation voices, and I recorded with them. The cool thing is about recording people during the lockdown is you get to see in their house. You get to see how your friends, some are friends, but some are like actors you really respect and look up to. And you're like, that's their bedroom? All right.
You're seeing their worst polyester outfit hanging on a hanger behind them.
Yeah. Or like, oh, that's what they chose to frame. Okay. Uh-huh. Sure. You know, you do you. That's fine. But like I've seen into... you know, giants of the animation world. I can't name names, but I've seen their bedrooms. and I feel like I know too much. I know too much about them now.
And now when you're directing them, do you ever see on their side what I see when I'm talking to my father on video chat, which is usually something akin to this?
Uh-huh.
Or maybe sometimes this is the most common. Do you ever get this?
I will say, I will say, if I can name drop, Tom Kenny, not the greatest at Zoom. I'll just say it. Voice of SpongeBob, amazing actor, not the greatest at Zoom.
Thrown under the Zoom bus.
Sorry, he'll never Zoom. Watch this. He doesn't know how to figure out how to watch Twitch. So
he is really good, though, at being an undersea sponge, though.
He is fantastic and the nicest, sweetest man. And a music connoisseur and a really great guy. We should have him as a guest on this show.
Okay.
Let's do it tonight. Some asshole, right?
The asshole.
Yeah.
The number one asshole. Let's talk about him before he gets here.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Before you call him up.
Number one fan of this show, or at least the original show. He might have fallen off by now.
I don't know. I feel like he's a super fan. He used to listen to the podcast when we were just a podcast before we even started the Criticals. And then I think he's watched our broadcast show as well. God, what is wrong with your camera?
It's not happening.
You're pulling a Tom Kenny on me.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he has always been a big supporter of All Work, No Pee.
Mm-hmm.
I
And I don't know why. He doesn't like us that much.
Yeah. Yeah. It's somehow like he doesn't like the individual ingredients on their own. Like, I don't ever talk to him. But for some reason, when you put us together,
We're Nutella. We're dark chocolate and hazelnut. Ugh. I don't want those, but put them together. Ooh.
I didn't know that's what Nutella was made of. Hazelnut?
I think it's dark chocolate and hazelnut.
My only experience with Nutella was my high school German exchange program, mm-hmm. where the parents of the girl that I stayed with in Germany would just slather Nutella on everything. Bread, brisket.
So you lived in Germany? How did I not know this about you?
Well, perhaps you might have missed it, but I do have
I know you studied German. I didn't know that you lived there.
I did an exchange, and two young ladies from a German Gymnasium, mm-hmm. which is the word for high
for
school.
For gymnasium.
Sort of, yep. For gymnasium, yeah. Came and stayed in my house in New Jersey for 2 or 3 weeks, and then that summer I went over there and didn't learn a Hold lick up. Of anything.
Yes. Hold up. Usually an exchange is a one-for-one thing. You're worth two German girls?
Well,
is
that we were... I don't want to go near that math, but I think we were just... The class was one kid off, and for some reason...
Okay.
I got two students.
Or was it like a sports trading thing where your manager, your principal was like, you can't have Liam for one. I got to get two. I got to get two players for Liam. He's our best guy.
I honestly don't understand any of the references you just said.
I don't either, but our guest will be able to explain it to us.
Oh, let's bring him in already. Travis, are you there? Hold on, let me just press this button right here.
Bing. Oh, and then we slid over, and now he's part of the show. Welcome, Travis.
What do you assholes want?
You guys, Travis. Where's terrible. The llama? Where's the llama? Is that just a Laura accoutrement? Or
yeah, that is entirely a Laura dressing. Henry is his name, by the way. You got to respect Henry.
Henry is the name of your llama, but also the name of a dog.
Yep, yep. Who, and I think actually Henry the llama came after Foster and Ashley had Henry, but so in the house that we live in, my wife wanted to get original art. She wanted to get a piece of original art, and she went to an art show, and that llama was staring at her from across the way. I think it was over by the Rose Bowl.
I love it.
And I came home, and she said, I bought our... She went to a flea market.
Okay. Mm-hmm. She's there? She's the guest of the show.
The dragon never sleeps. and I came home, and she said, hey, honey, I bought our first piece of art for the house. You're going to love it. And I said, okay. And I walked into the living room, and there was that fucking gray alien looking llama just staring at me across the room. I was like,
has it grown on you? Do you appreciate it now?
Of course. Okay. I love Henry the llama, but every once in a while, she's still in the room, isn't she? She's within earshot.
Okay.
My life is in danger still.
Just use your eyes to communicate to us. Look up if you're in danger and look down if you're safe. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, God. Your eyes can do crazy things.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know you could do that. We've known each other forever. The painting is sentient.
It is. I feel like they're little like pinhole cameras in each one of the eyes, and they track independently.
let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Go back in time to the day we met. To the day we met, where I directed you on an anime dub, and then back it up like 10 minutes, and you pop out of a time rift. And try to explain to that Travis on that day, 10 minutes before I directed you as a sailor in a weird robot anime.
What show was it?
Boy.
Gun X Sword. Now, Travis, a much larger, bulkier, hairier Tony Stark, salt and pepper Travis, pops out of the time rift and tries to explain the magical dream factory that you are a part of with the weirdo you're about to meet in the next room, mm-hmm. and you are guiding that ship through the middle of a plague in a storm of civil unrest. mm-hmm. Try to explain that to that twerp. that I met that
day. Impossible.
Yeah, I think that version of me just looks up and goes, "Drugs are real. Hallucinogens are a real thing." I mean, how could you? And not only that, not only so long ago when we first met, Mr. Director O'Brien, mm-hmm. But I mean, a smaller version of me, and also a less just educated, less talented version of me. There was so much learning to do.
It's true.
It really is true. Not like your
director is throwing you under the bus.
No, yeah, I was kind of dog shit, you guys.
I've directed you recently, and you're quite excellent.
Yeah, now I got my shit together. Now, back then, oh boy, big problem. Big theater actor, real big. No sense of nuance. Or
how long had you been in LA when you guys met?
Boy, I think I was maybe on a year and a half, maybe under 2 years, but I only had about a year of Dallas anime under my belt at that point, which really doesn't say much.
You weren't a seasoned vet. I thought you got here when you were like, I know what I'm doing. I've got my shit together.
I never say that. I still don't say that.
Wow. So, and when you got here at that time in your life, mm-hmm. I know you're confident now. But when you got here, did you land in LA and say, oh yeah, I'm going to make it. I got it. I got this. No problem. Or was it like, they're going to discover I'm a lie. This is awful. Look I'm terrible.
I was destined for stardom. Look at this face. I had it made. No, I came with the go for 6 months, see what happens. Thought for sure I was going to be a film or TV actor, mm-hmm. Of which that never, ever happened. Couple little things.
You were in a movie. I saw you in a movie.
Yeah,
I was in a
movie. Yeah. I went through like 6 weeks of Coast Guard boot camp so that I could be in, you know,
the Kevin Costner Guardian. Movie.
Yeah. Ashton Kutcher. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, but it was, I think the first, what was it, 2005 to like 2003, like 3 or 4 solid years of just doing nothing. Like nothing, not even VO at that point. I just didn't have any connections or auditions or any sort of those things that were popping. It wasn't until meeting like Laura and Troy and, you know, getting into the sort of VO circle that stuff started to turn up. But man, no, LA was a disaster. I moved out here into a house with like 4 roommates.
Oh, ooh. Wow. Mm-hmm. Were they actors or just normals?
All normals, all trying to do like music or film or I was the only actor. I had the smallest room. The sun came right into the room at like, as soon as the sun came up, I tried putting like aluminum foil all over the windows, still got cooked.
Not
I had to get
curtains.
Up every morning.
Not curtains. Nope. Okay, cool. No.
Well, I did curtains, but it doesn't work.
Yeah.
The LA sun is vengeful.
It is. And these were all dudes?
No, one dude, 3 other girls.
Oh, yeah.
Smart. Which normally you'd be like, yo, Bachelor's Paradise. No, they all had boyfriends and stuff like that. And yeah, you know, it's just like me and my cousin, a couple of girls that he knew from the University of Georgia.
I'm prying into your family. What did your cousin do at the time?
He worked in the William Morris mailroom and then started to work for a music agent.
Oh, cool.
That's a tried and true path to Hollywood success. If you can last in the meat grinder that is the agency system.
Mm-hmm. It is a marathon, no doubt. Endurance sport.
Wow.
So let's
different time.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Let's flash forward. We are in this pandemic wrapped in civil unrest and like a time like, you know, untested, a time like no fucking other. How are you, buddy?
I mean, I'm as good as can be. People ask, you know, like, how is it for you at our house? We have the saving grace of a 2-year-old.
That is saving grace of a 2-year-old.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it is also a burden and a hardship just because trying to do the same amount of stuff takes twice as long. There's only 2 of us and we're still working as much as we ever did. So we have to logistically figure out who covers what when the other person's doing something. But the anchor, like the omphalos of normalcy that comes back when you just look at him and he doesn't know what's going on in the world. There's no anxiety or panic. He is as happy as we are, is super reassuring because you can go through hours and hours, like a 4 hour, 5 hour, 6 hour stretch in the day where it's just madness and the news cycle sucks and and everything's terrible. And then, you know, he comes running around the corner and is like, dad, dad. And you're like, oh, it doesn't matter. Or it's all worth it. Either one. Right.
Yeah.
So that's been really, really cool. I think the first couple of weeks, because now we're what, 39 weeks into the pandemic? Is that right? Well,
I don't know the number at all. Is that
it's 46? We've passed, just to put to timestamp this day, this episode, we have passed 3 months of lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because we locked down March 16th, something like that.
14th, that
16th.
Right.
And holy it is shit. Now late June. So we are 3+ months in.
I stopped paying attention to numbers of weeks ages ago, so yeah. You have just fucking ripped my eyelids open and hurt me on the inside.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
I think those first few weeks we were wondering how it was going to work, because with no daycare options and the workload not lightening at all, we were like, I don't know how it's gonna happen. But like good resilient Americans, or like dinosaurs in Jurassic Park.
Sure.
Life finds a way.
It's almost for us anyway, in our unique, weird little position on planet Earth, it's a weird amalgamation of like Little House on the Prairie and Hollywood tech, because you got your kid on your hip all day. It's just like, I know what's going on with my son because he's right here all day, but I'm still tilling the land. I'm still in the office recording VO and writing and like reviewing scripts and going over it all day long. But then I'm also teaching, reviewing math with my daughter. Both my kids are right in my back pocket.
Yeah.
Kids in the chicken feed. He's playing with the barbed wire fence you're trying to fix. He's walking amongst the, you know, 1200 pound steer that's right over there. Like, you know, he's just everywhere. There have been times, and Sam's knows this, it's a recording session. You'll hear a high squeal come in through a microphone over trying to record. And you're like, I need 2 minutes. I'm not sure how he's in here or what's happening. And then you hear a Roman from another room, and there comes, you know, Laura Roman.
Have you guys, the both of you, sort of wrapped your brain around, you must have, but I'm going to ask it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I still feel this urge to with myself to say, well, you know, you need to get this much done a day because you're a professional and this is what's expected and everything's normal and you need to deliver the way you're supposed to deliver. But you can't really. It's a little, I feel like it's a little bit like when I first had kids and you have to manage your expectations and go, well, I'm going to get 60% or 70% of what I'm used to
doing.
It's
usually about 60% of what you set out to do at the beginning of the day. And that includes like just house chores and cleaning up and dishes and stuff too. Like usually about 60% of what I thought I might do in a day. And then the rest, you just got to be like, it's quarantine. What can you do?
That's a pretty fair number. I think like on the best days, maybe you start tickling 80%, but it's never all of it. And you know, I always liken things back to like fitness or athletics because I'm just a douche like that. But
you know,
if you want to make like physical changes to your body, you know, people are like, I'm going to make a New Year's resolution. Like, cool. But it's also the 8 weeks of consistent work after that, right? You got to chip away in little pieces. That's the same thing. If you try and do everything that you're supposed to do in that one day or that week, I mean, you're going to burn yourself up, right? So got to be realistic, got to be forgiving, give yourself a little grace too, right?
Yeah.
Well, aside from cuddling your little Roe and your wife Laura Bailey, hold for harp noise. What do you do? Because I know you like, you know, I think we all assume that you like watching, you know, NASCAR and at least sport. You like watching sport.
Yeah.
And playing sport. But like, there's no sport right now to watch. So what do you do? Are you a reader? Do you listen to music? Do you go on long walks? Do you skateboard? What do you do?
Right. So definitely not skateboard, because my top heavy ass, that's just a quick way to death at this point. I don't read recreationally only because I usually spend so much time reviewing things of a legal scripts nature that the last thing I want to do
is a lot of reading.
Yes, it's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But the long walks, yes. I'm sure the same has been true for you guys. In the early weeks of this madness, those long walks were like
lifesavers.
Bread and butter, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. That circadian rhythm. Like you see the sun come down, you get kind of tired and like settled. You fall. For me, it was easier to fall asleep. Like if I was indoors and it was light outside, and the next time I like looked out the window, it was dark. It just kind of messed me up a little bit. So, like walking around, getting some exercise, holding the little dude's hand, just breathing the clean air and remembering that like the air is clean, mm-hmm. right? It's okay, right? And there are a lot of movies that you're like, outdoors is danger. And outdoors comes with a lot of new responsibilities and rules, but particularly where we are, like our front yard is safe. Our backyard is safe. Our block is safe. We see people walking around in the sundown hours every day. Mask on if you're too close, but normally everybody keeps a good distance. They wave. There's like a good connection in the neighborhood and community. And that's been, you know, super vital. But for me, I usually unwind with like, I've been diving into the TV shows, man. The ones that I didn't watch before, the Parks and Rec.
Oh.
We killed all of Parks and Rec. We jumped into Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Okay.
I think I need to jump into 30 Rock next.
Oh, yeah, that's a classic.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine is insanely long. But What We Do in the Shadows, oh, yeah. I'm loving it. Loving yep. it.
Have you watched Hulu both seasons?
Right, yeah, we're current.
Yep. Okay.
we got our current merit badge. Okay. But yeah, it's normally like.
Do you watch together with Laura?
Oh, yeah.
There's never any digital adultery that goes on. You never sneak an episode, because like I'm watching Space Force right now.
Yeah. Not
with my wife. Yeah. I don't think she would like it. She's okay with that. But like if I watched an episode of, oh God, I don't even know. We were also watching this show, Normal People, which is this weird like Scottish love story thing Hulu.
Okay.
But if I watched an episode of that without her, she would kill me. But Space Force, she could care less about.
Well, I find ways to do those things on my own. Like I have slat windows above my sink. Where I wash dishes, and I will just put my iPad right there, and I will watch one episode of Star Wars Rebels every mm-hmm. night. One episode mm-hmm. of Star Wars Rebels with an earbud in while I wash dishes for the last mm-hmm. 2 weeks.
That's acceptable.
Amy don't give a shit about that.
That's true. I do have a fair number of shows that is like Castlevania. I did Me Only. Right? Yeah. Some other animation property, stuff like that. Made my way through Avatar, Last Airbender, right?
Yeah, yeah. You guys were texting me saying, where are you before this show that we're taping right now? I was watching Korra with my kids.
Yes.
It's so good.
Korra is so
man, the animation is so good.
Yeah.
I didn't know. So
yeah.
It was an inspiration point for Liam, Marisha, Matt, myself, like. It's so good.
Legend of Korra. I mean, I like Avatar too.
I do too.
And many people like it more, but Korra is so beautiful.
Yeah. Have you watched Korra, Sam? Do you have that in your future?
I've been like, so my kids are watching it right now. And so I pop in, I saw the first episode. I saw, you know, the fourth episode. I saw episode 13. Yeah. And so every time I jump in, I'm like, what's going on? Who's that guy? What happened? The mask is gone. What's happening? You know, and they're like, they're trying to fill me in and be like, no, she doesn't have that bending power anymore. They took it away or whatever. You know, it's so great though.
Man. Oh, go away, Steve Bloom.
He's everywhere. He's the worst.
He's Steve everywhere. Bloom. Name you know, Rufio from Hook. What's his name?
Dante Bosco.
Dante Bosco,
Mark
incredibly
Rufio.
Talented voice actor. Well, it was because of Rufio and because of Avatar that he was at a convention in New Zealand. And when Laura saw him, she was like, I have to go talk to Rufio. Just like had the biggest crush. Mm-hmm. And we went for like a little island tour on some little tiny ass like New Zealand island. And she didn't have her driver's license, so she couldn't rent a scooter. And Dante Bosco was like, saddle up. You can ride with me.
Saddle like, up. You can ride with me.
Can I go? I was like, yep. Yeah, you can ride with Rufio. Totally fine.
Oh, man. That's awesome.
Dream come true, man.
Guys, also, we like cartoons.
We do. We really do.
So much we that really we're making do. One.
Can you guys see this little dot, this little bald spot in my beard? Is it
what happened?
Is it brown?
I thought it was just gray.
Did your son yank out a tuft? What happened?
Yeah, So, you know, we've all been working as consistently as we've had been, you know, and Sam knows this. I had to do like face capture at home, and I emailed them and I was like, what are you talking about? And they're like, it'll be fine. You'll put on this like matte foundation makeup and we'll send you a graph and you draw the dots yourself, make them symmetrical. Sure. You draw the big ass dots in your face and we'll send you a ring light. We already had one. Thank you, Marcia, and production team. Mm-hmm. And we're going to do a 4-hour face cap session off of your iPhone at 4K.
That is crazy.
And I was like, I don't think that's going to work. And they were like, why? I'm like, A, too much trust in me. And B, I have a beard. And they were like, oh yeah, just shave.
Oh man, I want you to go full handlebar for a couple of weeks or something.
Oh, it's right here, just like this. Oh, the old Mercer for Undead Ward.
Yeah,
you took one for the team. You didn't just want to shave the whole thing. I mean, there's no rules anymore. Look at this. I got this thing going on.
There are rules. I've seen a few reactions to old pictures where Travis is sans beard, and they're not positive ones.
Oh no.
Yeah, that people don't like them.
Bearded Travis is it for now, for forever?
I think for a while. I think unless Travis loses 25 pounds of daddy weight, this isn't going anywhere.
It works for me, and that's all that matters. So
that is true.
Don't touch it.
I have a check-in with Liam.
When's the last time that you were clean shaven? When you were a string bean?
Consistently, yes. When I was still doing triathlons, and most recently, pathetic that I know this. Three years ago on Halloween, I was Snape for Halloween, and I shaved.
That's right. Oh my gosh.
That's the last time.
I can see it in my head. Oh wow. Uh-huh.
I had a little quarantine beard until recently.
Same.
That's right.
Because I needed to shave in order to sync up my facial hair with our programming schedule.
Yep.
Because we're gearing up to shoot again soon.
That's right.
So
that's
right. I realized that on episode 100 of campaign one, I didn't have a beard. Therefore, I had to shave the beard to gear up for episode 100 of campaign two.
Well, you're getting your timeline screwy. We can hold for edit space. We can talk about the fact but by the time this airs, we can talk about having been back to the studio.
Yes, we did all a tech together. Rehearsal.
Tech rehearsal and the much awaited episode 100 has happened at this point.
You're
with us all way the heck apart in using the most strict guidelines that are
state
possible
guidelines.
Right now.
State federal guidelines. Galactic guidelines.
World Health Organization, CDC.
Guidelines that are so strict that Matt looked pixelated to me when I looked.
We all have opera glasses to see each other.
We just have the flat down night vision goggles rolling. Uh-huh.
And we won't say much because we want you guys just to enjoy the episode when it hits. But man, that was such a shot of adrenaline and just goodness.
Just being back. Forget about the content. Just being back in the place, seeing each other physically in a space, even though it was far, it was just magic. It felt so great. I went home afterwards that night and my wife was like, so how'd it go? And I tried to downplay it. It was pretty good. and then she's like, come on, it was fun, right? And I was like, oh my God, it was fun. It was incredible. I saw people. We talked and made jokes together. It was amazing.
People who are not you, who I've seen for 3 months.
Yeah. You who I love. You who I love.
I love so much. Well, Sam and I have talked about this, I think, on this show, which is obviously your children and your spouse. They're everything, right? They are so much of your identity, but they're not the only part of your identity. And everyone on Earth suddenly has just had 40% of their identity ripped away, like meat off a carcass. Mm-hmm. And it was the first time, you know, we've Skyped, we've Zoomed, we've had phone calls, and we text every day in our ridiculous text threads. But it's not the same as the eight of us being in the same room together, horsing around. I mean, we are a found family, and it was the first time the family had been back together.
And we held out for it for a reason. Like it was apparent and evident that we had made the right choice mm-hmm. when we all sat in that room, and you could see each other, you could connect, you could pick up on nuance. The yeah. timing was there. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think all of us were truly misty eyed by the time Mercer got to the like tonight's Critical Role. Like we were all emotional yeah. a couple times before we got to that. So it was worth it. I mean, and you know. We may have to disappear again. We don't know what the future holds, but for now, it feels really, really good. Yeah. And it was a recharge of monumental proportions. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, you know, hopefully we can just go continually, but if we need to go for a while and then pause and then come back, you know, we'll just little islands to get us
yep.
through this ocean.
Little baby steps.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
It was the first moment where it sort of felt like, oh, we're going to be okay. everything's going to be okay.
Because contrary to popular opinion, this shit is hard.
Yeah, it's real hard.
This is hard.
It's real hard, yeah. And I mean, it's also the adaptation process, right? It's not like we just jumped back in and did the same old thing. It was from scratch, square one. Our production team knocked it out of the park, really busted their heads for weeks and weeks.
Worked very hard to get us there, and we're so grateful to them and for them.
Yeah, months really. Yeah. I'm sure some people will be like, oh, they just... No. Yeah. It was
pointed cameras, right?
A long time coming, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mad props to them. If I knew any of their names, I would thank them on the show. I think there's a Steve. I don't know. That sounds right. But...
is there?
good guess.
But it's great to see you on this show, obviously, and to get a little insight into the way that you've been spending your lockdown. I wanted to ask both of you guys, because I was thinking about this today. Some things, for me anyway, during lockdown, have become more important and some have become less important. For instance, for me, in my home, a bread knife has become the most important tool that we have, because my wife makes 2 loaves of bread every day.
Every day.
Well, she makes 2 loaves of bread every other day, but it's a 2-day process.
Wow.
So we bought, at the beginning of quarantine, we bought a brand new bread knife, and it is the most used item in our house. Do you guys have like a thing that's more important to you now than it was before? Or I mean, less?
Toilet paper would be the obvious answer, right? That thing was gone. But I think it was actually, I think probably like our sponge at our dishes. I was like, are we doing 10 times the dishes every day than we ever did before?
Yes, you are.
Yes. I come out every morning. Part of my responsibility is to come out and clean the entire kitchen, clean the sink. And 30 minutes later, after little Yahoo has been in there, I was like, who let the football team in and who fed them chili? Like what is all this stuff? So the kitchen has just been bananas.
Yeah.
Similar. I've never had them before, but I bought a pair of yellow dishwashing gloves that have little tiny, they're almost like little insect feelers all over them
for
scrubbing, because and this might be overkill and I don't fucking care, but all the groceries coming up my house, we put them on a towel in the kitchen
100%.
And then one object at a time, rinse it off, put it on the side, next item. So everything.
Yeah, and some things you can't do that with, like a plastic box of raspberries, say. Yep. So I'm the dirty hands guy. I hold the box and I tip it over, and my wife catches them in a bowl and slaps a lid over it and puts it away, sterile and clean.
And then she sets you on the fire.
Box. Yes.
Also, my happiest place in my home, except for when I put my face into my tiny dog's belly and fall asleep on our backyard lawn, is the booth that is 4 feet past the computer that I'm staring at. A booth. We moved into the home that I'm in because it had a garage with an office over it. And whoever lived here before used to make music. So there was a booth. There was a booth ready to be outfitted. I was like, yes, I'm coming in here and I'm just going to be ready to go for voiceover. And guys, I have some complicated stuff in my life that I don't talk about that just sort of took over. And that booth just became a closet. And I just put piles of shit in there. It never became a booth. I just did auditions and booked still at this desk right here. Well, it's funny what panic and anxiety will do. And I took the 6 weeks and there is a full-fledged booth with foam on the wall to dampen the sound and a mirroring monitor and everything. The works.
You did
this
it.
Stool. I did it because I was a scared of the plague.
I installed
like a HEPA air filter in it.
Totally. I installed outdoor lighting in my backyard. I used a drill. Travis, whoa. I used a drill.
Sam, I'm so proud of you.
I've never used a drill before.
It had a drill bit on the end of it, too?
It has a oscillating, like a do-do-do-do-do, like it.
Yeah.
And it's a hammering drill.
Yeah.
I don't know where I got it. I looked in my garage. And I was like, what is this? I own this? And I used it, and I drilled in outdoor lighting.
Tell me you didn't callus your hands, though.
No, definitely not.
Okay.
He held on to Q's hands while she held the drill. We too had to make a recording booth setup because we had something in a room that was just good for auditions, right? It's not broadcast quality by any means.
Doesn't need to be perfect. Just get your voice out there.
Yep. And then we quickly realized, like, everybody around us gets their lawn care done every day of the week. There's leaf blowers. And I mean, so anyway, the most central part of our house turns out to be our closet off of our bedroom. And I told Laura, I think we got to build a little recording booth in the closet. She was like, I'll kill you.
Wait, that's your master closet?
Sure. Oh. Yeah, the master closet. Yeah. Where all of her clothes and shoes are. And she was like, how am I supposed to get to anything? And it was okay. Because the rationale of, let's be honest, we're not going to be wearing any of this stuff anyway, right?
No. Yeah.
But it's got towels and drapes and little foam squares staple gun to the roof.
Wow.
And,
yeah, I mean, we just need this closet for this work for just a quick
year,
year and a half.
Yeah, it's going to be there for a bit.
Wait, I didn't realize you were in your master closet when you're recording.
You know,
yeah, there's nowhere else.
If you're a table maker, you kind of have to make tables.
Yep.
Yeah. And even then, we have to, like, Ronan has to go to the farthest point from the house from that closet or outside. So it's like, you know, it's a whole thing just to try and limit. I mean, Liam, you know, you've got, like, aircraft flying over and leaf blowers and it'll be like, hold through a leaf blower.
Gardeners all the time. And then really, you know, there's still protests happening in this city and every city every day. And but we had stuff scheduled. I've had stuff scheduled. So it'd be like, okay, I'm here. There's a helicopter right over my house, guys, like right over my house. Let's hold for 20 minutes. So, I mean, again, it's that whole, everybody, the people that I'm working with, everybody knows it's like, you're not going to get 100% of what you set out to do. You're going to get 60 or 70%. And everybody's kind of been on the same wavelength.
Yep.
Thankfully.
Yeah.
It's interesting. We learned, Laura and I learned how to trade off our son so well that when The Last of Us 2, which recently came out, right?
Game drop.
Playing it.
We knew that she had to play it. I knew that I had to play it. And we were not going to do it together because that's not, I mean.
Is it a one-player game?
Yeah. It is a single-player game, but you could share, right? We know couples that like sit on the couch and they like hand the controller back and forth or maybe just somebody.
Sounds awful.
Especially for us because we are similar type players and also very different. Like we're similar in that we will check every corner of every room for every little thing. But also when she starts doing things that are not tactically sound, I gotta let her know about it.
That doesn't seem like a good idea. I know your wife.
I know. Well, she played first and then I got in there and then she was like, can I come watch you play this level? I was like, yeah, sure. She comes in and then she's like, hey, don't forget them. I'm like,
She was backseat stealthing.
Yeah. It also reawakened the days of long ago, Liam, where an individual might stay up till, God forbid, like 11 11:30, dare 11, I say 12.
Two in the morning.
Let's be honest. I was up till 3 or 4 a lot of nights before children.
I could handle 5 hours of sleep and go to work the next day and make it happen. No more. I do not play video games almost at all, but I'm 6 hours into that game.
Oh, you are?
Holy shit. Good job. It is beautiful. Naughty Dog has made a beautiful game. Our friends are beautiful actors, amazing actors.
Stupidly talented.
Stupidly talented.
Seems to be a guest. Special guest. You should be asleep right now. It's very late.
Right on theme.
We just finished watching
TV. You just finished watching Korra? Yeah. That was a lot of Korra.
Oh.
Did you like it?
Toss. You what? You found what?
Toss.
Toss?
Toth.
Oh, Toth.
Oh, Toth.
Oh, no spoilers.
Spoilers. Have we ever said her name on this show? Don't we have to beep it now?
Oh, we'll beep it. We'll beep the name.
We gotta beep it.
Her name is, what is it? Terminator?
Right, Farfik Nugan?
Oh, she's going. She can't hear you.
Oh, yeah, bye. Hamlet, Romper Stomper, Harry. Oh, no.
Cannot use guys. We're years into this show. Can't use Romper Stomper anymore.
Why? What happened?
Because it's a movie about white supremacists.
Wait, what?
Yes. It's a movie about skinheads, I think somebody pointed out.
There's a movie called Romper Stomper?
I thought it was just a term for somebody that... goes to show. I don't know.
Oh, my God. Are we getting canceled right now?
I got it. No, but I got to come up with a new name for her. So between...
What is a Romper Stomper?
Well,
I thought it was a rambunctious individual.
Oh, God, I just Googled it. It's bad. It's bad.
Yeah. So live and learn and move forward. So I got to come up with a new name for my brilliant daughter.
We got to bleep us saying that name in this episode.
It's too late. We can say it because it's a terrible thing and we're not going to go. I tell you what.
It's a terrible thing. Don't Google it.
We're just going to call my daughter Viola now. We're just going to call her Viola.
Viola?
Viola from Twelfth Night. She played that role.
Shakespeare was a white
supremacist. Little thespian. Her new name is Viola.
That's good.
As far as I know, are no skinhead connotations to Viola or Twelfth Night.
Oh,
but
boy.
If there are, please let me know.
I want to check with Google. I don't know.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. What I was amazed is that years have gone by.
And no one thought to tell us. Nobody thought to tell me. I thought that term, which I will not ever say again, was just meant like a rambunctious child, like a.
No,
there was a show in the 80s called Romper Room, I believe, that was like a kids show, right?
Oh,
I thought that was based on that. Oh,
not you, Travis, but Sam, you and I are idiots.
Yeah, I guess
idiots.
So.
I was aware. I think I was aware that it was a movie, but I had no idea what the subject matter of the film was, and I just took it as a rambunctious kid.
Wow.
But not anymore. Now it's Viola.
Nice.
Okay.
Boy. Man, oh man.
Shit just got dark.
Things took a turn. Took a turn. What else is going on, guys?
Fuck.
I just went through my old comic book collection.
What's in that collection?
Some good stuff. I don't know. I don't want to be a braggart on.
Give us a rough estimation of how many comics?
The original collection was many thousands, 3,000 or 4,000comics.
No shit.
Over a dozen long boxes. But that collection is away. It's somewhere else. It's most of it, 98% of it is at my wife's dad's house.
But it does exist in your family.
In Virginia. Still. It does, although then one time we visited and it was all gone. And
what do you mean?
It wasn't where I left them. And I asked him and he's like, oh, one of our sons sold it. And I went to him, Quien's brother, and I was like, what happened? What did you do? What happened? You sold it? He's like, oh, I just like donated it to a library or something like that.
Oh.
And so I was heartbroken for a couple years until we went back for like Thanksgiving or something.
He stole it from the library.
And he was like, oh yeah, by the way, your comics are are in that closet. I was like, what? You gave them away? He's like, apparently I didn't. Apparently I only gave away one box. I thought that was all of them, but there's 12 more.
Oh, wow.
12.
Holy
I was going to ask how many long boxes. You had 12 long boxes of comic books.
Yeah. So they're all sitting gathering dust. But last time I was there for another family visit, I went through and I had my phone in one hand where I was Googling which ones were good. And I just went through the whole collection. I just pulled the good ones. So I just pulled the good ones and I like the real good ones. And so I took them back with me to Los Angeles. And so I went through them yesterday and tried to catalog them and like seal them better and stuff. And
tell me three of the good ones.
Fantastic Four number one.
Ooh.
Wow, really?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Holy shit, Sam.
But it's severely damaged. Please don't come rob my house.
Okay.
In the old days, I guess if they would deliver a bunch of books to newsstands, and if they didn't sell, they would rip off half the cover and send it back to the publisher as like a sign, like, we didn't sell this one. So this is a Fantastic Four number one with half the cover ripped off. So it's in poor condition.
It has
very, very poor condition.
Does this one have half the cover?
Half the cover ripped off. Yeah.
Well, at least it's the real thing, though.
It's the real thing. That's why I got it because I love Fantastic Four, and I wanted.
That's cool.
I wanted to have number one, even though I'm blurry, and even though it's worth dog shit, but I still wanted it. and then let's see, what's another good one? I have the Death in the Family. Oh, I'm even blurrier now.
Oh, Batman and
the
Robin.
Batman, Death in the Family, those four books.
I love that arc so much.
Yeah, that was really good. That was really good. I have some good stuff. I have a lot of Fantastic Fours that are
you,
pretty good.
I think I knew you had comics, but you hid the size of it because you like to down, you're not nerdy. I mean, you claim you're not nerdy, but that's a lot of comic books.
I don't like nerd shit. I don't clearly. Like nerd shit.
Clearly.
But
he really doesn't.
Yeah.
But there was a moment in my life when I really did love nerd
when
shit.
When did it stop? Because you clearly were inundated with the current canon and lore up to a year. When and what year was that?
1993.
How old were you and what happened?
I think
middle school.
Wait, no,
high school?
No, that's later.
He was still in high school.
That's too late. It was earlier. It had to be 1990. Okay. Well, it was the first year I went into high school. So what is that? 1990. Yep. I think I stopped in 1990. That's when I went to high school? Yes.
That's we're the same, so that's about right. Yeah,
I think that was the year because the first day in high school, I was like, oh, wow, nobody's reading comic books. I should not read comics. Also, everyone showers every day. I guess I should do that too.
Oh, wow. So recently you've come full circle.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure you guys have talked about this already. What's your weekly shower average?
That's not bad.
Three?
Two to three.
I'm closer to two. I'm musking it up over here.
Yeah.
Right?
I heard
I heard someone say that like the less you shower, the healthier your hair gets.
Oh,
I just gotta tell you, my hair is healthy as fuck.
Do you wear deodorant?
Yeah. Well, yes.
Not me.
If I walk by my wife and I have not done it, she'll be like,
"Yeah, so will mine." But I don't care. It's quarantine.
Why do you want to smell your own bad smell?
It doesn't matter anymore. Nothing matters.
Now, you smell it.
Can you vaguely smell your own bad smell, or are you pit checking?
It stinks. I stink all day.
Are you like?
Why do you want that?
Okay, cool. That's me.
No, like if I reach over, I'm like,
I like having deodorant on him. I like going, that's what
ocean breeze smells like.
That's what life used to smell like.
Not me. No. Too much. I can't bother. I just stink all the time. Wear the same. I wear the same gym socks every day.
Oh, make it go away.
Those pale thighs.
Yeah, I wear shorts every day.
They go some. Oh, look at them. Yep.
I don't care anymore, guys.
Like uncooked chicken legs.
Yeah. I don't give a shit.
I love how your camera's white balance just went off. Like you look like you live on Mars. Your face is purple because it's trying to compensate.
Oh no.
We just saw the purest white. Compensate.
Wait, show me your leg one more time.
Arctic Circle. Look
production,
at
this. Please. Production, please put a blizzard behind Sam's leg right now.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Holy moly. No, you guys asked about sports earlier. It's funny because I forgot that like the NFL draft came and went. It's a big event every year where all the, you know, NFL teams get the newest college recruits and players. And, you know, I watched it. I think everybody else watched it too. And we were like, yeah, life is normal. Life is normal. Everybody finishes the draft. Cool. What happens when it comes time to play? And it's been interesting just from a sports perspective, watching both like college sports and the NFL try and figure out what's coming next. The NBA too, Major League Baseball, all of them. And they've got these proposals and they've got these plans. And I think even this week, you know, I mean, we'll date the episode, but it's even this week, like, you know, the Clemson Tigers, a national championship collegiate football powerhouse, had like 26 players or something like that. I might be getting the number wrong. 20 something players that tested positive for, you know, COVID.
Oh, really?
Most of them are asymptomatic. But, you know, for anybody that doesn't know, when you play football, every play and you're having a collision with another human being, there is sweat and spit and eye juice and whatever.
Yeah, they're screaming at each other.
Face mask. Yeah, face to face. So you've got to have like either zero penetration of that disease, or I just don't know how you do it. So I'm personally fascinated to see how sports are going to have like audience less games or are going to like just open it up and be like, come take your chances if you want.
Mm-hmm. Well, everybody's got to figure out what they're doing because there's no national plan.
Not to get political, but you're totally right. We're fucked.
No, it's true. State to state. It's up to...
Yeah.
It's up to everybody to figure it out.
Figure it out.
Man.
We'll watch that line, right? Went like that and did this.
Be cool if there was one, though.
I'm holding out hope. Could turn it around tomorrow, guys.
Be cool if there were a lot of things.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Usually on the show, although we've done this already, kind of, Liam, usually we ask for recommendations for people, for you, Travis, to recommend to our audience. How they can pass the time, like interesting ideas for games that you can play with your 2-year-old or a show that you found interesting.
Ways that you've de-stressed or unwound. We did kind of cover this.
Kind of covered it a little bit, yeah. Any other thoughts, any other successes you've had with entertaining the boy, like a new game that you've learned or a new toy that you've invented? Or
did you invent any new toys, Travis?
Unfortunately, don't have any skills when it comes to inventing toys. No, you know, he is like his mother in many ways, and like me in that the constant movement seems to be all that he needs to achieve a minimum level of happiness. So we were actually in our backyard at one point, and there is a small like triangle shaped loop that he was just walking aimlessly. And so I jumped in with him and we started doing it. And about 20 minutes later, we were still going in this loop. He had to be chasing me very, very slowly. And my iWatch like beeped and was like, it seems that you're going on an outdoor run. Would you like to record this? I said, sure. And a couple minutes later, we ended up going like a mile. Like the dude was just chasing me for a mile in this triangle shape. I mean, tiny, tiny little like circuit. We just did it 100 million times or whatever. But for me personally, I would throw this into the ring, especially for people that are either former runners or looking to get into running. And Liam may agree with this. I personally love running at night.
Me too.
When the sun is down, it's cold. Yeah. You also have less to see visually. So you're not distracted by like, oh, there's that house over there. Or that's how long the street is. Or here are the wavy heat patterns coming off of the cement. There's also just something that you can just feel the calm at night. Like everybody's settled. The energy just feels like there's less. And it's the end of the day. So it's a really good way to go like, fuck you day. I'm just going to go and half a mile, mile, 2 miles, whatever it is, and go for it. And it's been amazing, I have to say. It is just that sort of the reminder that like outside is okay. Everything is cool. It's quiet and you can just kind of Yeah. You know,
do you listen outside to music while you run?
I do. I'm not a podcast guy. They need to talk way fucking faster for as much cardiac stress as I am in when my big 250 pound ass is running. Because let's be honest, my BPMs are nowhere under 170. It's like the heart attack area when I run. Goddamn oxen. It's got to be like fast, aggressive music. Mm-hmm. You know, very much like a grog playlist.
Death metal.
Yeah, which Sam loves.
At night, it's Corn. Great because the world turns into like just dark glass. I went through a stretch of time where I would just do Tron Legacy at night. For Love months, it. I did that and just go out and think. If it's daytime, I like to go hiking. And here's what I'll throw out. If I think, at least in California, I can only talk to Californians now, but we're getting hiking trails are opening up again. And if it's during the day and you can't take a run, just go and climb a hill. Mm-hmm. And just get it really outside is so important. And we're indoors. I'm indoors nonstop. So if you can do it once a week or even every other week, just go climb a hill for an hour and a half. Meeting up with Kari in the morning.
Oh,
in his neck of the amazing. Woods. And we're going to go climb a hill together.
Kari Payton, friend of the show.
Yeah.
Name drop.
Love it.
And that's awesome. That is awesome.
What was the Foster told me about a Pandora station? It might be the name of a band. You guys know this. I know nothing about music. I am woefully ignorant when it comes to both classical and modern trends in music. But it was called The Midnight. So maybe there's a band called The Midnight, and it's got great music. It's like kind of synthy 80s upbeat stuff. Anyway, it has that Tron Legacy vibe. I recommend it.
What's up, Keanu? How's it going?
Boy, the whole family's here tonight.
Yeah.
Dude, Keanu is getting buffed. I mean, he's like USA Gymnastics ready to rock and roll.
He's a member of USA Gymnastics.
That's what I mean. Yeah. He's shredded.
Yeah. He led me and the missus in a workout the other day. And no joke, I've taken 2 days off from working out because I'm injured.
I'm so sore.
He led us in this thing where you do like V ups and then you turn over and what is it?
Already sounds terrible.
Hi, you're talking about my crazy hard workout.
Yes, I am. the whole family's here.
There's five people.
No, it's you and me. And you guys need to be in bed. It's so late. Go away. Go away.
Fine.
And close the door.
Hi.
Rebellion. Rebellion in the Regal household.
In the first 2.5 months of quarantine, when the door was closed, that meant Dad was working. Do not go in there.
You got to put a studio light up.
In the last couple of weeks, it's like, we know he's not really. We know it's bullshit work. Come on, real. We're
Have
going
you seen
in.
His hair? Nobody takes that guy seriously.
Every time we go in there, he's on some stupid Zoom call with his friends. Forget it. We're going in.
I mean, he's working, but not real work.
No.
Not real work. Nothing real.
Yeah.
I failed.
I took my little wiener dog hiking yesterday, too.
Oh.
Sprig climbed up the hills of Griffith Park, up to the observatory. I carried him over some rocks maybe two times. Little man went all the way to the top of the hill.
With those little 2-inch legs?
Battery.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
He was dead tired once he got there. He just went, and just, and dogs would come over and say hi. And his MO when he meets all dogs, bigger dogs especially, is just go, ugh.
Belly.
Yeah, gives him the belly. Uh-huh. And that's all I did up top.
Wow. I love little doxies.
I was so proud of the little guy. And I just think about your dog, Travis, every time I hold him.
Yeah, man. Dude, doxies are the best. I love that he's a belly shower, too, because they're just the sweetest.
Mm.
And take advantage of that nuclear fission battery, man, because they'll go as long as they possibly can. And then, you know, a decade later, they'll be like, a hill? Are you crazy? Do you see how long the spine is? What are you asking?
I like to take naps with him in the backyard. If he passes out and I can spare 30 minutes, I will just lay down and let my face smush into his tum and fall asleep.
Aww,
it's the best.
So good.
It's so nice.
The pandemic brought puppies.
I know. Everyone got one.
Like a vengeance.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for hanging out with us and sharing your pain, Travis.
Yes. You guys, thank you for letting me offload and just commiserate. Yeah.
Very sorry about the NFL season.
Yeah,
and, I don't even know. Like,
also, thank you, Travis, when you told the NFL draft story, how you did a quick like parenthetical where you were like, you know, the NFL draft, it's where professional football teams pick new draftees from college and high school, you know, like assuming rightly that we did not know what the NFL draft was. So thank you for that. I appreciate it.
I didn't want anyone going like, I mean, are they drafting people for military service? Like, what's the draft?
just no, you know your audience. It's right. It's right.
Yeah. Look, you guys are all Cowboys fans now. Sam, you especially.
Go Boys.
Definitely.
The organization appreciates it.
Because it's the team that I know exists.
That's right. And your fealty will be rewarded, I'm sure, with a game at some point.
I would love to see a game.
Jerry's World.
I just want to see, like you were saying before, I want to see them play, but with like Saran wrap all over their masks, so they're not making contact with anybody.
Just traps all the sweat in their face.
Yeah,
like a wet windshield.
Uh-huh. Can we see them in like virtual suits, all standing 50 feet apart?
They all have
like
to,
it's Lawnmower Man.
Yeah.
What about those inflatable bubbles? Can't we just stick them in those things?
That'd be
the game
fun.
Would get instantly 40% more explosive.
Or they all have to take a deep breath before every play and hold it until the whistle blows.
Call a penalty on that.
Yeah.
5 yards. Breathing. Holy shit.
Well,
guys, big fan of the show, by the way.
Thank you.
I've never wavered. Yeah.
Oh, wow. You're the best. More you and the population of Malaysia has been steadfast in your support for us, and we appreciate it. You've made us think that we're cool.
Oh, that's good. I do want to offer one little criticism.
Okay. Oh, shit.
I have not heard a single cork pull this episode.
Oh man. I
don't think there are any nearby. So I just think like post.
Mine is a screw top.
Wait, just go ahead and do it and we'll add it.
Okay.
That's so sad.
So slow and laborious.
That was a sad sound. But they make some fancy wines now with screw tops.
That certainly made me want to drink wine, though. So thank you, Sam.
That was one of my favorite. That's some of my favorite OG stuff. I could just smell. Oh, yeah.
That's a good one.
The cask bourbon.
Mm. Yeah. All right, we'll bring that back for you. On this episode, we'll make sure to add tons of random cork sound effects. Well, we'll see each other soon.
Yeah.
If all goes well.
Before too long.
For more episodes. Oh man, I'm so excited.
So it's been waiting so long. And we're totally safe. We're not in any kind of danger at all.
Yeah, we're doing it right.
We're all alive.
Mm-hmm.
Shish. All right. Well, look, I got to get up early to go climb a mountain. So love you both. I will. Stay strong.
I love you all. Yes. Don't forget, for all of you watching, definitely check in with your friends. See how they're doing. It's always nice to hear someone else's voice on a Zoom, on a call, on a text. And we will see you for another one of these in a week or two. Thanks for watching.
Love you guys.
Hey, friends. This is Liam O'Brien. Thank you for listening to AWNP Unplugged. If you enjoyed the episode, please consider leaving us a review on whatever podcasting app you're using. It really helps us support the show and might even bring new listeners our way. Remember, you can watch AWNP Unplugged every other Tuesday on twitch.tv/criticalrole at 7 p.m. Pacific. Or stick with listening to the audio version of the show the following Tuesday, right here on the All Work No Play podcast feed. With all that said, thank you for hanging out. Stay connected, stay safe, and remember, friends, don't work too hard.